You know how Uncle Sam likes to charge you interest when your taxes are late? Well, that works both ways. I'm Rob West. It's only fair you pay when you're late, so the IRS has to pay when they're late getting your refund check out. I'll talk about that today and what you should do with your refund when it finally arrives. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. So refunds this year are still averaging around $3,000, and as we've said many times before, that's way too much. Your refund is really an interest-free loan to the government, so you want to keep it as small as possible. Aim for zero. Now, for a variety of reasons, the IRS is more behind than usual getting refund checks out this year. The agency says it's having trouble hiring enough workers to catch up on the 2020 backlog from COVID, and it's had to implement tax changes made in the COVID-19 stimulus legislation. All of that's led to delays in getting millions of refund checks out to taxpayers. But the good news is, if your check is more than 45 days late, the IRS will pay you interest on the total amount of your check. Right now, interest is accruing at 4%, but starting July 1st, the rate the government will pay you goes up to 5%, compounded daily. But remember, your refund and any interest the IRS pays you is, of course, taxable. So you need to account for that. No free lunch there. Now, when your refund check finally arrives, or if it has already and is still in your bank account, what will you do with it? Unfortunately, many folks who get big refund checks view it as mad money that's outside the budget, so they can spend it frivolously. Not good. A refund check presents opportunities you should take advantage of. If you haven't started an emergency fund, that's the first thing to do with your refund check, or add to it if you already have one. You want 3 to 6 months living expenses in liquid savings, and your tax refund can be a great jumpstart. Your emergency fund allows you to handle life's unplanned but inevitable expenses without having to borrow. By the way, the free MoneyWise app can help you get on a budget and track your expenses so you can see how much discretionary income you have for saving. Get it wherever you get your apps. Just search for MoneyWise Biblical Finance. Now, if your emergency fund's in good shape, next, pay down any debt you have. It's the best investment you can make with your refund. It gives you a guaranteed return on your money equal to the interest rate you're paying to the credit card company, which is probably a lot. If the refund won't cover all of your debt, that's okay. Pay down as much as you can. Okay, we've talked about saving and debt reduction. You can probably guess the next smart thing you can do with a tax refund, and that's start saving for retirement. Think of it as finally getting your money to work for you instead of you always having to work for your money. Let's say that back in 2012, you put your $3,000 tax refund into a qualified retirement account in an S&P 500 index. Today, that $3,000 would be almost $12,000. That's the power of compound earnings. And granted, the stock market did incredibly well over the last 10 years. The S&P 500 had an average return of 14.7% annually. You won't always have returns like that, but historically, there's no better way to create wealth than by investing broadly in the market over a long period of time. Okay, let's say you now have saving, debt reduction, and investing covered. What's the next best thing to do with a refund? Well, if you've been putting off a necessary home repair, it's okay to use refund money for that. Also, for home improvements, if they'll help increase the value of the property. Keep in mind that not all improvements are worth the money, so you have to do some research. Realtors are always a good source of information. Now, the next best thing is investing in yourself. You could use your refund to get more training, take a job-related course, attend a conference, or join a professional association. Those things can pay off down the road with promotions or at least increased job security. Now, here's one more thing you can do with your refund, and it certainly shouldn't be an afterthought. Does this extra cash enable you to be more generous? Take the opportunity to give something more to your church or to further God's kingdom in other ways. By the way, if you're married, sometimes when money comes into a household, both spouses might not be in agreement on how to use it. It's important to reach agreement. Sit down and talk about it. Listen to your spouse's viewpoint and decide together after prayer. We'll be right back with much more. Stay tuned.
God can use persecution to strengthen the church and individuals within it.
Persecution is granted to us. Don't miss this. What an honor to be chosen to follow in the footsteps of Christ, to die like the thief beside him, so that men enslaved to sin can see the gospel written in our flesh and believe.
Gain more perspective on persecution with Jordan Chambly's article, The Victorious Persecuted Church, in the Fall 21 issue of Engage Magazine, or visit engagemagazine.net.
The purpose of government is to secure God-given or inalienable rights to man.
America's premier historian, David Barton.
John Dickinson, who's also a signer of the Constitution, he said, an inalienable right is a right which God gave to you and which no inferior power has a right to take away.
Wall Builders Live captures the ideas of the Founding Fathers and then applies those ideas to the issues of today. Sunday morning at 11:30 Central on American Family Radio.
If you're investing for retirement or any other goal, you may be wondering if it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market. Sound Mind Investing has a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians learn to be wise and faithful stewards in the area of investing. Profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market at soundmindinvesting.org.
In today's culture, our families need all the attention and support we can get. Next time on Focus on the Family, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis talks about the critical importance of traditional families and the value of every child, including the preborn. It's a hopeful perspective on the next Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
Siri, open my food delivery app.
Before you order in again, are you sure that's in your budget?
What budget?
Exactly. You need the free MoneyWise app. With its electronic envelope budgeting system, you'll know exactly where every dollar is going, and you can finally stay on top of your money.
I guess that does sound like a pretty good idea. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Okay. Searching for MoneyWise in the App Store. Learn more at moneywise.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Delighted to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, and taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. What's on your mind? We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Our team is standing by, and we'd love to hear from you. In the news today, Federal Reserve Chairman Powell told the Senate Banking Committee yesterday that the central bank is, quote, strongly committed to bringing down inflation and can do so with its monetary policy tools, what many refer to as a blunt instrument. That means we can expect higher interest rates until what Powell termed compelling evidence emerges that inflation is coming down. He told lawmakers, and I'm quoting now, we anticipate the ongoing rate increases will be appropriate. The pace of those changes will continue to depend on the incoming data and the evolving outlook for the economy, end quote. The market's up modestly today after last week's big sell-off. We had a positive day yesterday in the markets as well. But all of that leading toward the Fed taking seriously inflation. And Federal Reserve Chairman Powell indicated yesterday that a recession is a, quote, possibility. Many folks expecting to see a recession, technically negative quarters of GDP. GDP growth consecutively, perhaps this year. And we will have to keep a close eye on that. Obviously, Americans feeling that across the board in their budgets. The average family spending at least $5,000 on average more than they had previously prior to this spike in inflation. So something we'll, of course, keep an eye on. Obviously, the Fed is at work, and these higher interest rates are going to be with us for a while. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got a lot to cover today. I'm going to tackle some emails that came in at questions@moneywise.org. We've got some great ones today related to paying off credit card debt with high interest. How do you handle somebody calling from Social Security asking for information of you? Should you give it to them? And what about taking out a home equity loan to purchase a rental property? We'll tackle those again, plus your questions at 800-525-7000. Let's go to the phones, and we'll begin today in Niagara Falls. Marie, thank you for calling. You go right ahead.
Hi. I had a question. I'm going to retire in December, and there's various, you know, things being subtracted from my paycheck each pay period.
Yes.
Long-term disability, supplemental life, short-term disability, and union dues. And they, you know, when you add them up, they're quite, you know, probably a couple of $100 a pay period.
Yes.
I was wondering what your thoughts are on maybe stopping those from coming out of my paycheck since I'm going to be retiring.
Yeah.
You know, okay.
I think that's a great idea, actually, because, you know, as we look at it, one of the ways that we reduce costs heading into retirement and during that retirement season is by eliminating unnecessary expenses. And the average retiree is going to live on about 80% of pre-retirement income, and eliminating some of those insurance expenses is one of the ways that that happens, because when you reach that season of life, not only do you no longer need disability and some of those other insurance premiums you're covering, but in many cases, we can drop life insurance if we have term insurance, or if we have whole life, we have a decision to make as to whether we want to take the cash value and move it to something that perhaps could perform a little better. And the idea even behind life insurance and dropping it is that, you know, we're offsetting the risk of our death creating a hardship through the loss of income for a dependent or a loved one. Well, that's no longer a factor, because if you're not earning an income, your death doesn't create a hardship at all. Now, you're talking about other types of insurance, and yeah, if something were to happen to you in these last few months, you know, prior to retirement, would it require you to, you know, have this type of assistance? Probably not, because you've been saving and planning for retirement. You have a plan. You're right on the cusp of it. And so why not recapture these premium dollars in the months leading up to retirement? So I think I would begin systematically looking at eliminating these expenses, try to get more money into the budget so you can save more and prepare for that next chapter. Have you prepared your retirement budget and then compared that to the income sources that you'll have?
Yes, and I'm probably going to have to do a little something on the side, like,
yeah,
you know, maybe not as you know, I don't know, bad, you know, tough on the body.
Sure, sure.
Is what I do now, you know, because I'm on my feet like 12 hours a day. And
yes,
you know, so I might just do like, you know, a little part-time gig, maybe daycare,
yeah,
center or something like that, you know.
Absolutely. Well, it's one great way to go. Are you planning on collecting Social Security right away?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So obviously, I think the key is to, as quickly as you can, prepare that retirement budget, get a good handle on what your expenses will be, whether there'll be any changes. Perhaps you're driving less, less in the way of work clothes, you know, any number of things that could cause your budget to go down in this season. And once you have an accurate reflection there, determine, yeah, if you have the ability to work part-time to supplement your income, obviously that would help to alleviate any strain on your retirement assets as you move into the next chapter and what God has for you. So hopefully that's helpful to you. We appreciate you checking in with us today. God bless you very, very much. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. That's 800-525-7000 with your questions today. Let's tackle an email email. These come into us all the time at questions@moneywise.org, and we try to get to as many of them as we can each day. This first email says, I got a call, and by the way, this is from Shirley. I got a call from someone who said they were from Social Security. They had my correct name and zip code. He told me that they were issuing new cards. He needed to verify my number over the phone. That is the Social Security number. I did not give it to him. Did I do the right thing? And Shirley, I would say unequivocally, yes, you did the right thing. Don't ever give your information out over the phone to someone calls you if someone calls you unsolicited. You know, these folks from Social Security, from the IRS, they will never contact you by phone and ask for information. That's just not the way it works. If they ever need to contact you, they will contact you by the mail first. So just a good idea, especially with so much fraud on the rise, identity theft, and just outright theft. We don't want to be giving out personal information that includes any banking information, Social Security number, any of that over the telephone. It's very easy for someone to get your name and zip code, find your telephone number, and impersonate, even on the caller ID, a legitimate government entity or organization, only to try to collect your personal information so that they can assume your identity, perhaps even open accounts, or take out loans in your name and do so fraudulently. So just a good habit. Don't ever give your personal information over the phone. I also wouldn't ever click on any links in emails that would take you or redirect you to a website, even if it looks legitimate, that might ask for your information. That phishing scheme with a PH is becoming more and more common these days. So we've just got to be on our guard against those types and attempts to collect our information fraudulently. If you find yourself a victim of identity theft, check out the Federal Trade Commission, FTC's website. They have some great resources on that. Take advantage of locking or freezing your credit report, putting a fraud alert. You may need to get a police report. You certainly will want to make sure you are checking all of your accounts regularly as well, and pull your credit reports to look for inaccurate accounts that are not yours. Much more to come on MoneyWise. We'll be back just after this. Stay with us.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net, and sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
Your kids are grown and you're in a new stage of life. It's a challenging adjustment, but author Dr. Jim Burns says now is the time to make a fresh start. And his new book, Finding Joy in the Empty Nest, will equip you with practical biblical advice. Learn to manage big issues like aging parents, managing a fixed income, or how to help your children. Request your copy of Finding Joy in the Empty Nest with a gift of $25 or more at moneywise.org.
The Supreme Court is expected to rule against abortion, so pro-abortion extremists are protesting outside the homes of Supreme Court justices. This is a violation of federal law, but the Biden administration doesn't care. In fact, Attorney General Merrick Garland refuses to do anything, even after an alleged assassination attempt on Justice Brett Kavanaugh. Please take a minute to urge Attorney General Merrick Garland and the U.S. Department of Justice to do their jobs and enforce the law. Go to afa.net.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Delighted to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. In just a bit, actually in the next segment, I'll be talking about the fact that credit card debt is on the rise. I'll give you the latest statistics. You won't be surprised to hear that credit card debt spiking. We'll talk about how you can counteract that through budgeting. Well, if you don't like the B word, let's call it a spending plan. But nevertheless, having a plan, giving every dollar a name, allocating it with intentionality is the key to every financial success. So we'll talk about that, how you can overcome credit card debt through budgeting. And if you've already got it, we'll talk about effective ways to get it paid off. That's coming up in just a bit. Again, 800-525-7000. It looks like we have two lines open. We'd love to hear from you. Let's go back to the phones. Mark, you're next on the program. Go ahead, sir. Mark, hello. Are you with us? Yeah, go right ahead.
Yes, I'm here. All right, thank you, Rob. How you doing? Good morning.
Good. Thank you.
Okay, my situation is this. I'm 61. I have a good retirement. I have some money invested in some mutual funds. But my downside is at 61 years old, I have over a $300,000 mortgage.
Yeah.
Now, if I have a piece of rental property, if I liquidated that, and I took money out of, which is a tax-deferred account in my mutual funds, I could pay off my mortgage, okay? Is that the sensible thing to do, or is it just keep the rental property and keep that money coming in, keep my money in the mutual funds? What is the practical thing to do there?
Yeah. A couple of questions, Mark, and I can certainly appreciate the question because one of the objectives we should have as we get toward retirement is to be completely debt-free. That just puts us in a really strong position. Being unencumbered gives you more flexibility, and this is a big one, it keeps your expenses as low as possible so you have as little a requirement for income as possible in that season. So we can live on Social Security. Right. We don't put unnecessary strain on our retirement accounts and which could cause them to, be depleted over time, and we could end up, draining them completely. So that's a great objective. The question is how to do it. You've mentioned a couple of scenarios here, but let me just ask a few questions. Number one, do you plan, Mark, to stay in this current home that you reside in indefinitely?
Yes, I do.
Okay, very good. And you mentioned you have a $300,000 mortgage. I realize home values are kind of through the roof right now. If you haven't checked Zillow.com lately for your home, you may be surprised to see what it's saying the value is. What do you believe the value of your home is today, Mark?
Oh, no, it's easily up in the 380 range, I would think.
Okay.
400.
All right, so close to 400, so you have about 100,000 in equity potentially today.
Close to 100, yeah.
Yeah, okay, very good. And tell me about that rental property. What is it worth, and what do you owe on it?
I owe about $85,000. It's worth $275,000.
Okay, very good. And is it cash flowing pretty well?
It's doing well. I mean, I have a mortgage, a mortgage on it and a mortgage on my current home. So after everything's done, all my expenses every month, I still have close to, depending on what the rental property brings in, it's a vacation rental, so it varies monthly what it does. But I have between $1,500 and $2,000 to play with every month after all my expenses are done.
So after the expenses, only for the rental property itself, servicing the debt, any kind of maintenance, taxes, and insurance, is that what you're referring to?
No, I'm talking total for both mortgages. The rental property itself, No, it does well. It more than covers the mortgage and insurance and HOA fees and all that kind of stuff. It more than covers that every month.
Okay. And in addition to the rental income that you have after expenses, what other income sources do you have?
I have a government retirement, so it's secure. Okay. It's a good retirement. It's almost $6,000 a month. I mean, I'm doing very well with that. So, yeah. It's not a 401k that's going to run out.
Yeah, very good. And let me ask you, Mark, do you like being a landlord? Do you plan to, would you enjoy continuing to stay with this property? Or does it kind of sound appealing to you to get out from under this, liquidate it, and get out of debt?
I really want to keep it because of the location. I use it also for vacation. I'm able to do that. Just block it out for a week or two and just take a vacation up there. So, yeah, I want to keep it.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I think, given what I'm hearing, I would probably hang on to it. You can always liquidate it down the road. If it's in a vacation setting, it would likely be able to be sold relatively quickly. I don't see the housing market in any kind of bubble situation, even though I think we will transition from a really strong seller's market to perhaps a buyer's market, in the sense that as we address the inventory issues we have, supply and demand on homes, with mortgage rates higher and a looming recession, we could find ourselves in a situation where at least people aren't paying 20 and 30% through bidding wars over market value. But given that, I think you still have the prospect of getting out from under this as you wish. Given the kind of certainty of your government retirement plan and how well this property has done, and given that it's a vacation rental, which, I think you will continue to do well on that, and that you have $1,500 to $2,000 a month in margin left over, I think I'd probably just stay the course here. I don't like the idea of you creating a big taxable event, number one, to pull out of the tax-deferred retirement account through mutual funds, because you're going to create a big tax liability, and you'll be selling these funds that are probably down 20%. And even though they probably have a bit more downside, I think I like the idea, given the amount of cash flow margin you have every month, of you staying with them, giving them several years to recover, and then deciding, do I want to liquidate them because I'm tired of being a landlord for this vacation rental? Or no, everything's continuing to work. My portfolio's recovered. I'm still cash flowing well on the rental. And even though I'd love to have this mortgage gone, the numbers are working. And given the margin that I have, I'm comfortable with that. I think that would be kind of my preference, as long as you don't have a conviction otherwise.
No, I think that's good advice. That's kind of what I was leaning towards. I mean, the one downside, of course, is to have that $300,000 mortgage, but it's not a problem.
Yeah, yeah. And you obviously could get out from under it at any point if you want to. You have the assets to do it. You're just choosing not to, for good reason. We're going to hit a break here. Thanks for your call, Mark. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
When you do life the way the owner's manual tells you to do life, you will be glad you read the manual, because it will save you from so much grief and so much heartache, and give you such joy as you walk with the Lord.
Dr. David Jeremiah continues his series, The Word, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes be like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values?
How about someone who will take the time to explain your options in plain English? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit MoneyWise.org and click the link that says Find a CKA. That's MoneyWise.org.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Delighted to have you with us today on MoneyWise. I'm Rob West. This is the program where we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. Our featured scripture this week here at MoneyWise Media is Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's good news from God's word today, especially in these uncertain times. A good reminder that we serve a God who is unchanging. He is our provider and will never abdicate that responsibility to anyone or anything else. Hey, this is a good time to mention that every Thursday we come out with our weekly wisdom email, where you'll find the verse of the week that I just mentioned for this week, along with some thoughts from me on a particular topic, some practical godly advice from God's Word on finances, but also our recommended reads for the week and our trending podcasts. You'll find it all in our free MoneyWise weekly wisdom email. How do you get it? Well, just head to our website, moneywise.org, when you create a free MoneyWise account that will sign you up, if you so choose, to receive our weekly wisdom email. It comes out every Thursday. Later today, it will hit inboxes, and we'd love to make sure you get your copy. Again, moneywise.org is where you can sign up. All right, back to the phones we go. Earlene has been waiting patiently in Arkansas. You're next on the program. Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you. My question was about what you thought your opinion was on drawing government Social Security. I'm 59, soon to be 59. I usually brought in about $1,000 to $1,500 a month, but my husband is the main breadwinner. But I haven't been able to earn any money since January of this year, and it's because of this condition that I have, and it's probably not going to get any better. I think we might be able to, you know, keep it at bay, but mm-hmm. I'm still not able to work on any kind of hourly. It's not fair to the employer because I have to take a whole bunch of breaks. So what is your opinion on collecting disability insurance? Because I should still have a many working years, so at least six more working years, but yeah, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. Well, I'm so sorry to hear about your health condition. Clearly, it sounds like if you had the ability to work without this condition medically, that you absolutely would. And the reason this is there in terms of being able to file for disability is for exactly the reason you're describing. So is it God-honoring? Is it biblical? Absolutely. You're very much entitled to it, and that's the purpose of it. It's to help folks provide financial assistance who are unable to work when they would otherwise have been able to do so. And so I think, Earlene, you are perfectly entitled to file for and collect this disability assistance. And I think in doing so, you shouldn't have any feelings of guilt or anything like that, because that's what it's for.
Well, and that's the problem. I don't want to pull money from the government. I don't want to be, you know, I have a problem with that if you're able to work. But
sure.
Since I'm not, I just, you know, I feel a little guilty about even thinking about it. But I just can't see myself working, and yeah. I should be able to work, and I want to work.
Yes. Well, I think that's the key. And obviously by you expressing that, I think that's your heart's desire. Perhaps we do this. You know, maybe Earlene, you say, I'm going to go ahead and start collecting this because of the situation I'm in. But I'm going to start praying earnestly that God would bring healing to my body and that I would find myself in a position at some point that I could go back to work. And what a great thing for you to be able to call Social Security and say, you know what? I no longer need this. I'm in a position where I can go back to work. So it doesn't mean you have to collect it forever. I think perhaps you start now and let's just see what unfolds in the days ahead. I appreciate your heart's desire to be found faithful in honoring the Lord and not taking what's not rightly yours. But in this case, I think this is, you're perfectly entitled to this. So thanks for checking in with us today. To Illinois we go. Sherry, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, with the market like it is now, I have been putting in 25% into my retirement fund, my 401k through my employer for many years. And I was wondering if I should back off on the amount I'm putting in right now while the market is so unstable.
Yeah. Well, it's counterintuitive, Sherry, and I can understand why you would ask the question, but this is actually a time when I like to contribute. And so if for me, I wouldn't back down at all. I realize you're watching what's going on in the markets every day. It's disconcerting. We see the volatility. I mean, last week's sell-off was significant, and obviously, you know, that's been the order of the day for this entire year so far. And yet, the power of dollar cost averaging is going to work in your favor if you continue to contribute at the level you have been, because every contribution you make, you're buying more shares of those investments, mutual funds or ETFs or stocks. You're buying more shares with the same amount of money because they're selling at a discount. The price to earnings ratio on the S&P 500 started the year at about 21 and it's down to 15. So we're buying stocks a lot cheaper today. And, you know, could there be more downside? Absolutely. I mean, the market is predictive. It's looking out to what is likely to come. You're seeing in this incredible volatility and this sell-off that the market is anticipating not only increase interest rates throughout the balance of this year and higher inflation, but a pretty good chance of a recession. If we see that manifest itself with real data, we'll probably have, you know, a good bit more downside, could be 15%, 20% or more. But I also believe that we'll pull through this. You know, we have some real challenges we've got to address in this country, but we always do. And we're still the strongest economy in the world. We have technological advances that are working in our favor. Yes, some of it's policy related, and we've got to deal with energy. And, you know, there's a whole host of things that we have to address. But I believe the market will recover here in the next 1 to 2 years. And at that point, because you still have time on your side, you know, 6 or 8 or 10 years until you retire, whatever that is, you'll have the benefit of having all of these contributions having gone in while the market was down, which will reward you down the road. And that's just a good, disciplined habit of investing with a long-term perspective. So long answer to a short question, but I'd probably stick it out and continue contributing at the current level.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
All right. We appreciate you. God bless you. Let's head to Michigan. Dave, thank you for calling. Go right ahead, sir.
Yes. Good morning. I am 68, and I'm looking at putting some money into a charitable donor advice fund, enough to cover my donations until I'm 70 and a half. At that point, then I would want to take money out of my IRAs for donations.
Yeah.
Where is a good place to do that? Is that a good strategy?
Yeah. Well, Dave, you've hit on one of my favorite giving tools, the Donor Advised Fund. If you're just hearing about this for the first time and you're in our listening audience today, this is a powerful tool. Think of it like a charitable checking account where you make a contribution, you get an immediate tax deduction for whatever's gone in, and then you can take your time and decide how you want to give it, when you want to give it, doesn't have to be that year, and you're not getting all of these contribution receipts every time you make a gift. You get it as it goes in. Dave, I'd use the National Christian Foundation. They call it a giving fund, but it's just a donor advised fund. You'll find them at ncfgiving.com, ncfgiving.com. I think it's a great plan, and I love that you're already thinking about the qualified charitable distribution once you're 70 and a half. Dave, thanks for your call today. 800-525-7000. We'll be right back on MoneyWise.
Hi, this is Pastor Robert Morris. I'm often asked, how do I grow in my relationship with the Lord? How do I hear God? What is God's plan and purpose for me? I want to personally invite you to join me on Sunday mornings right here on AFR for worship and the Word. And we will discover the answer to these questions together. We'll explore the truths found in God's Word that will help you strengthen your faith and develop a more intimate relationship with Him.
Find peace in God's Word. In Nahum 1:3, the Lord has His way in the whirlwind. Frequently in life, we find ourselves in a whirlwind, don't we? Really, the wording means His way prevails even over above the storms of the whirlwind. God is in control. He has His way even above the noise of the storm.
Don't miss Exploring the Word with Dr. Alex McFarland weekdays at 3 p.m. Central on AFR or catch up with the podcast at AFR.net.
Siri, what's the best way to save for college?
I'm not sure.
Well, what does the Bible say about co-signing for a loan or investing for retirement?
I don't know that either, but you can find those answers on the free MoneyWise app.
Really?
Sure. You can connect with the online community and get answers and encouragement from MoneyWise coaches.
That sounds great. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Got it. Learn more at MoneyWise.org.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, taking your calls and questions. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. I mentioned that I would bring you up to date on what's going on with regard to credit cards, and if you find yourself in that position, what you can do about it. Of course, these days we're all feeling the pinch of higher prices pretty much across the board. Obviously, when you have to pay more for basic needs, you have to think about where that extra money's coming from. It's time to adjust the budget. Well, while you're rethinking your spending, consider the impact that rising interest rates might have on your consumer debt. Many consumers are depending on their credit cards to keep up with rising prices. In fact, 229 million new credit card accounts were opened just in the first quarter of this year. 229 million new ones. Maybe one or more are yours, but using credit to pay for basic needs can be a dangerous approach, and here's why. With the Federal Reserve raising interest rates, those variable APR credit cards will increase their rates along with the Fed. So some analysts predict the average rate could reach 19%. Anyone who keeps a balance on their credit cards will pay more. Also, paying your taxes, rent, or utilities with your credit card can result in convenience fees. Don't ever do it. On a $1,000 payment, the convenience fee can add up to $30 or more. Using consumer credit to solve short-term problems can make you think you've got everything covered. It's easier to coast along charging everything when you shouldn't be trying to do that and trying to pay with cash. Of course, many analysts predict that all this economic stress will get worse before it gets better. So don't use your credit cards and assume that it's just for a little while. That's a trap that can leave you deeper in debt. So what can you do to avoid these credit card pitfalls today? Well, if you don't have one, get a spending plan. That's really your key to overcoming this. I can't emphasize this enough. It's critical to know where your money's coming from and where it's going. If you've got a budget already, make sure you adjust for higher prices. So by some estimates, folks are spending as much as $450 to $500 extra per month. Well, this is going to mean undoubtedly some belt tightening. So reduce discretionary spending, perhaps stop eating out wherever you can to avoid putting these extra charges on your credit card. If you can, stop using your credit cards as a buffer. Use cash where possible, unless you can pay off your balances every month. And by the way, by using cash, studies show you'll spend 15 to 30% less just because you won't see that money going out and that emotional win there by using the actual dollars. You're going to want to hold on to it versus the plastic that you're much more disconnected from, a little easier to swipe at the register. Once you've saved a bit for emergencies, I would focus on paying down those credit card balances. If you have less than $4,000 in credit card debt, you can do it yourself by what I call snowballing it. Use the lowest balance card first and attack that with every available extra dollar. When that's paid off, go to the next lowest balance and keep plugging away until you pay them all off. And finally, and this might sound counterintuitive, consider increasing your giving to God's work, whether at your church or mission or to MoneyWise or American Family Radio. Wherever God is meeting your needs and He's at work, wherever you feel led, you might be surprised at what that does just to recalibrate your heart and show your dependence and trust in the Lord during these challenging times. And of course, we'd be happy to help develop that personal spending plan for you. Just visit us at moneywise.org. You can download the MoneyWise app in your app store, where there's three different ways to set up a spending plan, one that will fit your personality and style. You can connect it securely to all of your institutions, download your transactions automatically. You can use our digital envelope system. Just search for MoneyWise Biblical Finance in your app store, and you can get started today. Hey, remember, times may be tough, but we serve a God who owns the cattle on a thousand hills. In the Old Testament, He's called Jehovah Jireh, which means God provides. So pray, commit your ways to Him, surrender your fears and your worries about your finances, and keep moving, doing your best to trust the Lord. Let me just finish with, again, Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, because I am your God." All right, let's head back to the phones today. Regina is in Alabama waiting patiently. And Regina, you go right ahead.
Yeah, I may have been a victim of phishing or scamming, and I wanted to know if you had any advice as to what I could do to protect myself. I went through and removed credit cards and debit cards from stored accounts, and I blocked that debit card, and I'm getting another one. And other than that, I was wondering if you knew of anything that I could do.
Yeah, a couple of thoughts on this. I think just in terms of actions you can take, I would, number one, you could freeze your credit reports, which is just going to place a four-digit PIN number. So if anyone tries to access your credit report because someone's trying to open a loan or take out a loan in your name, they won't be able to do so without that PIN number. It doesn't cost you anything. If you need to open a new account or take out a loan, it's a little bit of a hassle because you'll have to provide that PIN number, but it's a great deterrent. So that's free. You'll just contact each of the bureaus, TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian, and tell them you want to freeze your credit. Number two, you could put a fraud alert on there, which will just alert creditors to the potential fraud that's taking place. I think number three, you need to just begin reviewing your personal accounts and financial information, credit card statements, bank statements. Just make sure that there's not anything that is out of the ordinary. carry or that you don't recognize. I think it'd also be important, Regina, to go ahead and pull a copy of your credit reports from Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. The best and free way to do that is at annualcreditreport.com. annualcreditreport.com. You're entitled to at least one per year from each of those bureaus. What you'd be looking for would be accounts that you don't recognize that would indicate that somebody's assumed your identity and opened an account fraudulently in your name. That can obviously be disputed and removed, and that would help you uncover that. Probably hasn't happened, but it's good to check up on. So I think those are probably the next steps for you in terms of just general wise actions in this area. Number one, keep your computer software up to date. Whenever they're releasing these updates, a lot of them include security patches for the latest kind of malware and tactics that these fraudsters will use. So make sure you keep your not only your smartphone, but your computer software up to date. Use what's called multi-factor authentication, where they have to verify through multiple sources that it is, in fact, you when you're contacting or connecting with any of these financial institutions. I would also say don't use public Wi-Fi when you're transacting business, connecting to your bank, things like that. And then don't ever click in a link in an email, especially if that's what got you here with phishing. So there's a lot there, obviously. There's some great helpful tools online. But I think if you have been a victim of this type of scam, it's a good idea just to stay on top of your things, perhaps a little more than you would have previously. Does all that make sense?
Yes, that's good. Thank you very much.
All right. God bless you. We appreciate your call today. Let's see. Abigail's in Mississippi. Abigail, how can I assist you?
Okay. The assistance I need, I pretty well have had my financial protection covered for years and have been able to take very good, careful care of it. My problem right now is I only use a debit card to live on, buy my groceries, and pay my rent. And I need transportation. I do not have a car. I do not want a car. I do not have a computer. I do not like computers. I do not want a computer.
Sure.
All I have is a basic old-time sense cell phone. No anything on it. Games or nothing, just the old time. It rings, no. I answer it, or I'm not home, I don't. It's just the plain old cell phone.
I like it.
And what I need is transportation. And I have decided I don't want a car because of the price of cars I've been looking at. And then if I had a car, the price of the gasoline to put in it. And I've
That's
decided
right.
I want one of these big three-wheel bicycles with a big basket on the back of it. I have had one of those before, and it has been a very handy gadget, I tell you. And that's what I want, to be able to take myself wherever, to go to church, to go to the store and get my groceries and bring them home in the basket and get my medical supply and medicine.
Sure.
And things like that, that any time of the day or night I need or want to do something, I can hop on that bicycle. And
I like it.
And it's not costing me anything. But I'm having trouble finding those here where I live. And I live in Mississippi.
Okay.
And I live in a little town near Tupelo.
All right.
And I need help to find my three-wheel bicycle.
Yes, ma'am. Well, here, let's do this. Perhaps one of our MoneyWise coaches could help you. So I'm going to have you hold on the line. Pat's going to get your information, and we'll call that that simple cell phone that you just answer and doesn't have any fancy gadgets. And when we connect with you, someone from our team, they'll help you navigate that and think about perhaps how you can connect with somebody locally that would help you find it, or maybe somebody who could use a computer to order it and have it delivered to your home since you don't have the computer. But nevertheless, we'll just help you walk through that and try to figure out how we can get you that bike, Abigail. We appreciate your calling. I think it's a great idea, by the way. Thanks for checking in with us. God bless you. She was sweet. Well, that's going to do it for us today, folks. Hey, before we go, let me just mention quickly that this is an important time of year for us as we head toward the end of our ministry operating year. Our fiscal year ends June the 30th, which is just a few days away. We're just close to $10,000 away from meeting our giving goal. goals, our listener-supported giving goals for this year. Would you help? We'd love to have you help us if this ministry has been a blessing to you and you've enjoyed the program. You'll find the giving banner and the button to give online at moneywise.org at the top of the page. Thank you to Pat Montague, Devin Patrick. Thank you to Mr. Robert Sutherland today. And thank you for being here. It's always a privilege to walk alongside you each morning. Come back and join us tomorrow. We'll do it all over again. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.